Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
That's right. Listen, 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 listen. There's a lot being said, especially in these days and times. That was brought to you by our good friends in Dimona, Israel, Kingdom of Yah. Friends of mine's been going there. I went there for, I know, at least about 8 or 9 years straight. From 2001 to 2008, every year annually. So kind of missed them. But that was brought to you by them. Check them out at kingdomofyah.com. Anyway, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio, everybody. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones, and I am Brother Seth. We do this every Sunday at 3:30. We discuss amazing proof of biblical black Jews. However, on today, we're doing a special show. We'll still talk about proof of black biblical Jews, but we're going to also talk about Hebrewism versus Christianity, the difference. There is a difference. So I look forward to a very enlightening, inspiring, Yah-centered, a God-centered Bible study. Okay? I just, again, want to thank you for your time. Your time is very, very valuable to this brother. People can give you a lot of things, but when they give you their time, that's probably the most precious thing they can give you. Because money has a value. Any gift they can hand to you that you can see, taste, touch, and smell has a value. But time is priceless. So, and I don't waste people's time. So, again, today we're going to be talking about Hebrewism versus Christianity, and then later on we'll talk about why this is important. Actually, let me just go ahead and do what I always do and read the show's description. Let's read the show's description or the blog's description for today. And I wrote, special show today, off schedule. It is definitely off schedule because normally we just stick to just proof of black biblical Jews and we just go through the scriptures showing how we know that the Israelites were definitely people of color, and we talk about why that's important, why it has everything to do with you, your life, no matter what ethnic group you're from, why that is one of the most important revelations in the scriptures. That's normal we talk about. But today, as I wrote, a special show today, off schedule, Hebrewism versus Christianity, part two. Okay? And then we will discuss more reasons this revelation is vital to you, your family, how you see your Heavenly Father, and how the Bible relates to past, current, and future events. Many of you have finally come to understand the mystery of the real Jews or Israelites being revealed. And now you ask, what now? Or how do we implement this culture in 2011? So, that's what we're talking about. How do we implement this culture in 2011? A lot of the Mosaic law is just simply, it has absolutely nothing to do with the people if they're in exile. Then some parts of the law we actually could use to salvage our culture. So what part of it we keep? What part of it just don't relate to us? What about Christianity? This name given to the people in the book of Acts, given by their oppressors. Are they really of Christ, or are they of Yah, or are they of the Father? Christ never wanted people to worship him. He wanted people to worship the Father. So what happens when a religion take the Father completely out of the picture, worship the Son, not to mention how the Greco-Romans come along and whiten up the whole seen and have millions of people worshiping images of them, not to mention also taking away the proper name and instituting the J, kind of trying to trip our people up. But I don't let that bother me too much, because I know that the Most High know when people say Jesus, they're talking about the man in that book, the Bible. When they say Jesus, they talk about the Son of the Most High. When they say Jesus, they talk about the one who performed those miracles in the book of Acts. So even if the Greco-Romans do come along and try to change and take glory, still, that doesn't take away from who our forefathers was calling on, okay? So anyway, so I apologize for that. Got the kids in the other room. Anyway, so we'll talk about these things, folks. It has everything to do with your salvation. I hear that asked a lot. What does this have to do with my salvation? This is a part of your salvation. Why, this is as much a part of your salvation as you need to pray every day. This is as much as a part of your salvation as you need to read the scriptures daily. This is as much a part of your salvation as you need to love. All these laws that we're given is vitally important equally. You can't say one law is more important than the other one. All of them you need for salvaging or salvation. So today, we're going to talk about this difference between Hebrewism, not to combat one against the other. That would be foolishness. That would be division, and I'm not a part of that. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this while I'm thinking about it. Nothing I say today, in my heart, do I mean to promote hate for any people. I have much love in my heart for the people of the planet. I don't look at the white man as the devil. I don't look at the white man as the enemy. I don't look at no people as my enemy. Ephesians 6 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is my enemy. More specifically, the scripture says we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and Satan. The world, the flesh, and Satan. These are my enemies, the world, the flesh, and Satan. This is who I hate, the world, the flesh, and Satan. This is who have hindered me, the world, the flesh, and Satan. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do the same. White people, as powerful as they may look, as global as they may be, they are very limited, powerless people compared to the three enemies I just named, the world, the flesh, and Satan. Spiritual wickedness in high places, as Ephesians 6 talk about. You'll see that we all are mere pawns in a game, so to speak, compared to these powers. And you're wasting your time building blogs, writing books, making tapes, videos, DVDs, talking about the white man being some special kind of evil. We don't tolerate that here, at least here at Five Smooth Stones, this blog. Again, I'm Brother Seth. I'm your host. Some of you are listening for the first time, so I have to say certain things that I have said before. Those of you that listen quite a bit, well, you for me with how I do things, okay? So I want to ask you a question. What is the difference? What is the difference? But before we get into that, let me just go ahead and invite the Most High officially. I mean, of course, he's always invited to our affairs. I'm not being religious here. But I always like to, when I get everybody together and we open up the blog, to open up in prayer. So please allow me to invite the Father into this study. I'm very, very serious. I'm not being religious. I mean every word I say. I would admonish you to agree with me as I pray. I'm telling you, a lie can mess up a whole life. I've seen one false information have people off track for years and years and years. So I like to invite the Most High into it and His Holy Spirit and ask Him to give us wisdom. and knowledge on the subject, because I know nothing. And furthermore, the scripture has already told you that you have an unction by the Holy Spirit, and you need not that any man should teach you. So it's going to be the Holy Spirit anyway. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to come to you and study your word. Father, we just want to thank you for being a father unto us. We want to thank you for your word, your promises you made to us. We want to thank you that we have a father that has made very many promises to us, take care of us, to be a true father unto us, and to not just leave us as bastards. Father, we thank you that we're not bastards, as the scriptures say, but we have a father, that you love us, you care for us, and you sent your son to shed his blood, to be the sacrificial lamb, to where we can have access directly to you. We just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for that commitment to us. We thank you so much for sending the Messiah to die for our sins, to make a way for us to walk again with you daily, if we would just do that. Father, help all of us to overcome the worldliness, the flesh, and Satan. Help us to understand what you require out of us as people on earth. And today we specially ask for you to enlighten us with wisdom and knowledge about this subject we're attempting to study. You've already said in the scriptures over and over and over again that Israel shall rise, Israel shall rise and do a work. We just want to know where, when, how. How are we to play into this whole end time equation? What does it mean for us and our families? Help us, Father. Help us to understand what you're saying in these last days. These things we ask in your son's name. Amen. Okay, folks, again, I want to thank you for your time. Hopefully you've had a productive day today so far, and hopefully you are being successful as far as not being of this world, but have done some things to promote the kingdom. And I don't mean to be spooky and super spiritual, you know, because sometimes people sound very, very irrelevant to today, and I don't want to be like that. I always try to listen to myself, even as I speak, and wonder how do I sound to people. When I say like promoting the kingdom, that sounds kind of out there, but what I mean is very simple. Are you fulfilling scriptures? Are you obeying the scriptures? Are you loving your neighbor, loving yourself? That's a big one. That's the one that most people miss. Loving yourself, not out there trying to love everybody else and not loving on yourself. Do you love all of the Most High's creation, including yourself? You can't love anybody else until you first love yourself. Have you forgiven yourself? These things are so much more important than anything Brother Seth would have to say today. Or they're just as important, I should say. Okay? So anyway, hopefully, like I said, you and your family is doing very well, and I mean it. I'm not just talking. You are real to me. This is not just a blog like I'm just talking in the air. I really think about the people I talk to and wonder how they're doing, how they're perceiving what I'm saying. So hopefully this, my goal in sharing this today, my goal in sharing this blog, this topic today, is to help us as humanity, not just the Hebrews, because you got to remember, there's lots of people that are concerned about who the real Jews are, and they want to help them become a people. They want to help whatever their cause is because they want to be blessed. They know the scripture says about Israel, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And not only that, but some people just want to be obedient to prophecy. There are certain things that the Bible says is going to happen no matter what. It's just going to happen, folks. It's like the weather. It's going to be there the next day. And if you can just understand these prophecies, you will be better off, you and your family, in your businesses, if some of y'all own it or you're whatever you do, you just be better off in life if you follow the prophecies, if you live in accordance with the prophecies, because these are like universal laws. They are going to happen. It's impossible for them not to happen. So that's what I try to do. I try to understand the universal laws and follow them, because they are going to happen. If you throw an ink pen up in the air, it's going to come down. That's a universal law. Well, there are spiritual laws that even supersede those natural laws. And I don't just want to be living my life just in oblivious. I want to be a purpose. I want to be a target. I want to be headed somewhere to accomplish something. So we want to talk about the difference in beliefs of these two camps in efforts to unify them, not to put one down over the other. I find admirable things in both the Hebrew camp and the so-called Christian camp. And then I find wickedness and craziness in both. This is to bring together. And if you're listening to me today and you find yourself a so-called Caucasian or white person, and you're thinking this blog has absolutely nothing to do, you are far, far, far from the truth. This has everything to do with you and your household and your walk with the Most High. Because the Bible, if you live by this book, and you should be, you have to understand what is going to happen to the natural Israelites. And we submit to you today that the people in Israel, in much love and respect for them as human beings, are not the people of the book. And we will submit to you that the people in Israel that call themselves Jews, as a nation, have not lived out the Bible prophecy as far as what is to happen to Israel. Deuteronomy 28, Moses is talking about what is going to happen to Israel forever. Deuteronomy 28 and 46 says, and they, speaking of the blessings and the curses, and they shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N, for a sign, S-I-G-N, for a sign and a wonder, and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever. So if you want to know who is a real bloodline Jew, not Jew by religion. Anybody can be a Jew by religion, by practicing this, practicing that. We are not talking about that today. We're talking about a Jew, or an Israelite more appropriately, by bloodline. Where is natural Israel today? Because the Most High said in Romans 10 and other parts of the Bible that he is not done with the natural Jew. In Revelation, the 144,000, do you remember who they were? Do you remember? They were 144,000 from each, 144,000 of the tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. 12 times 12 is 144. Those were bloodline Israelites. The Most High hath not forsaken his people. It is not over with. He just blinded them for a season, that they might reject the Messiah and the world might be engrafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Now we have salvation for everybody through Christ. But folks, he has not done away with his people. He is going to resurrect his people. That's the purpose of the battle of the dry bones. Every Sunday at 3:30 we talk about this. Please listen to the archives. Please listen to the archives. We're at www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5 smooth stones. Please use the underscore to separate. I know some of y'all have called on the phone line and you don't know where we're at on the internet. Again, blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. When you go to that page, go ahead and click on a Google link as to my library and check out the books on this subject. I have over 20 books talking about this in depth by various scholars. They do a very good job, and the Most High brought these people across my path, and I'm telling you, they will be a blessing to you too. You can further your knowledge of this subject when you go there and get those books. Okay? Now, the biggest difference I can see right now between the Hebrew Israelite camp and the Christian camp is the way we look at the Father. Now, there are Christian churches and there are Hebrew churches that are exempt from anything I talk about today. There are Hebrew churches that don't, everything Hebrew or Israelite community does not do everything identically the same, just like every church is not identically the same. There are some churches that's more Bible-based, and you just can't touch them on no level because they're Bible-based. They're tight. There's some Hebrew communities that are the same way. However, there is also the other in both camps. But let's talk about Christ and the Father right now. A lot of churches pray to Christ. They pray to Jesus or to Christ, and they pray in his name. Now, while I'm at it, I have all kind of people listening to me today, some of which don't know nothing about Hebrew. And me mentioning names like Yahweh, Yahuwah, and the various names of the Father. Me mentioning names like even Yeshua. Yeshua is common in churches. Even Yahweh is common in churches. But Yahawasha, people never heard of that, most people that I know. They don't know that. They don't know about the different pronunciations of the Son. So for clarity's sake, we'll do another show on names, but for clarity's sake, I'll read the Bible as it is printed. But just know, those you Hebrew Israelites out there, I do know the proper names of the Father as well as the Son. Okay? Now, having said that, people worship Jesus in churches. And also, I'm familiar how the Bible talks about you should not utter the name of a foreign God, and I understand how the Greek or Romans went in and changed the Hebrew and instituted the name Jesus. The letter G is not even that old. I understand that. It's probably the newest alphabet in the English language. His name was not Jesus. He did live, died, rose, left, shed his blood, which is the most important thing, but his name was not Jesus. I understand that. So, again, we're reading the Bible the way it's printed for those that don't know this. We'll do a study on names at different times. So the biggest difference between the Christian community and the Hebrew community is the Hebrew community prays to the Father in Jesus' name. And as you know, the scripture says, the Messiah said out of his mouth, pray to the Father in my name. Pray to the Father in by name. So when believers today, when Christians today pray to the Messiah in his own name, it's very confusing. And it's not biblical based. Okay? So that's one area right off the bat that sticks out. And I apologize for the outburst here. But I just wanted to just share that. That is the major, major thing right there that I can think of that comes to my mind more than anything. One is strictly fixated on to the Father, and one is fixated on the Son. And this is John. Let's see here. As far as pray to the Father in my name. We can find that, if you look at John 16:23, talks about it. I'm looking at some notes I wrote. Well, actually, I'm on the internet, and there's some notes that was wrote here. Let's see here. John 16:23 talked about it. And also you can look at John 14:13. So let's look at this real quick. So like I said, Christ said, pray to the Father in my name that the Father may be glorified. Okay? And why do we as a Christian community
And that is John 14:13, like I said. And it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's what he's talking about, praying to the Father. And if we look at John 16 real quick. All right, John 16:23, if we would go there. It says, "And in that day ye shall ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Okay? So we believe in praying to, we the Hebrew community believe in praying to the Father in the Son's name, because the Father is the one who deserves the highest praise. That's another difference. We worship Christ. We'll always worship Christ. Worship means to adore. Believe it or not, you worship your wife or your boyfriend. When you say you look nice today, that's a form of worship. I mean, for real, it's a form of worship. Adoration is a form of worship. So we definitely adore the Son. We believe the Bible when it says that all power in heaven and earth has been given to the Son. That's how much we worship Him. So we believe that the Son has been given all power in both heaven and earth. But what do you think of a person that can hand you that kind of power, like it's some gift or something? What kind of power does that person have? Again, all power, all praise, excuse me, highest praise is reserved for Yah, or the Father, or Yahweh. It's cut and dry, clear. The Father said to the Son, as many of you know, when he ascended, "Sit here on my right hand until I make the enemies your footstool." And after the enemy has been made the footstool, the Son will become subdued under the Father. The Son will become subdued under the Father. Are y'all hearing me? The Son will become subdued under the Father. So what does that mean? That means that Christ will be put under the Father. That's 1 Corinthians 15:28, where it talks about that. So there is a hierarchy. The Son is not the Father. Oh, I know when the disciple says, "Show us the Father," he says, "You're looking at him." He just meant, I'm the Father. I have his purpose. I have his priorities. I have the same spirit as he has. When you see me, you see the Father. And guess what, listener? You're supposed to be able to say the same thing. When somebody sees you and when they see me, we are supposed to be able to say, you are looking at a manifestation of the Father on the earth. But Christ was not the Father. Very, very clearly, there is a distinction. One lady touched him and said, "Good master." And he said, "Why do you call me good?" Are y'all listening? That there is only one good, and that is the Father. I'm talking about Mark 10 and Luke 18. "Why do you call me good? There is only one that is good." Are y'all listening to me? So what are we saying? There is a major, major difference between the Son and the Father. The Hebrews community and the Christian community are different. And there are churches that are an exception. They never make this mistake. They give the Son his due, and they give the Father the highest glory. So, good for you. That's the first difference we'll talk about. Okay? Something else. All right? One of the things I noticed, and I was going to say one good thing about the church, then one good thing about the Hebrews, like, then go back and forth, But I'm not going to do it that way. It may sound like I'm beating up on the church, but in the end, it will be balanced, I guarantee you. Okay? Another major issue between the Hebrew community and the church, the so-called church, I mean, not the so-called, it's not what I meant to say, the Christianity, and I will say Constantine Christianity, is the acknowledgement of the so-called black Jews. Most of Christian churches you walk in, you just go outside your door right now, find a church, knock on the door, and ask them, who are the real Jews? They're going to point to you to Israel. They're going to point to you to Europeans that live in the land of Israel. When you ask them why, they won't have much proof. And I know a lot of this I covered last week, but again, we got new people. We always have to spend the first few moments of the program updating them. So just bear with me, folks. Okay, bear with me. I've got to do this, and then we're going to get more into some different things between the Hebrew and the Christian churches a little later on that I didn't mention last week. Okay? But that's another big one. It's major to understand who Israel is and what they're going through right now, because the Most High have promised that Israel would rise again, that he is not done with the Hebrew, that if there's certain things he is to do and the Messiah, these certain things is to usher in the Messiah. Okay? And that's another thing. Okay? Who is the Messiah? Again, big difference between the church and the Hebrew community. The church has this Greco-Roman, they have bought the lie. Hook, line, and sinker. They bought the whole thing, the whole package of deception from the Greco-Romans. In that, how they went into the scriptures and changed the scriptures, changed the very image of Christ. The Bible, the Messiah, let's start with the Messiah, is a very dark-skinned person with woolly hair. Feet look like they're burning in the fire, bronze burning in the fire. All this is color. There's many things that I can say to prove his ethnicity. Or its color, but I'm not going to go into all that right now. Y'all got to listen to the archives, especially when I talk about Bible leprosy. And we talk about that on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. But if you listen to the archives, I go up into how it is impossible that there was any white people in the Bible. It's totally impossible. In the ancient days, they'd call you ludicrous to even think that. The Bible is about a dark-skinned people made from the dust of the earth, but the color of the earth. Israel was not even called black people. They were just people of hue, and they wasn't olive tone. We got to get that out of our head. That's another lie. They weren't olive tone. These was very dark-skinned people. They was often mistaken for Egyptians, and all scholars believe. I don't think I heard. I haven't been very, very few that even thought that Egypt had any white people. Those were very dark-skinned people prior to the Crusades and the whitening up of that area. So, again, different between Christianity and Hebrewism. How we see the Messiah. Somebody said, what does this have to do with my salvation? What does this have to do with 2011? What does it have to do with my children, my husband? If you don't see the Most High in a proper light or his word in a proper light, if you buy into deceptions that man have on the planet, there's a reason they're lying about something. There's a reason they lie about his image. There's a reason they lie about where he was from. There's a reason they lie about who the Bible characters look like. If you don't care about this and you just believe the lie, whatever the wicked people's scheme is, you become a part of. If their scheme is to bring glory to them, they've been successful with you. If their scheme is to get you from the Most High, having a harmonious relationship with him, if that's what they meant, they're successful with you. If they're trying to hide the glory of Africa, they were successful with you. If they was just simply angry at the Most High and just was trying to slap him back, they accomplished that with you. If you're believing a lie, whoever invented the lie, their agenda you have become a part of. If it's not a lie, you're fine. But you can never believe a lie and just say, well, what's wrong with it? Truth ain't really helping me. If you are believing something somebody made up out of their head, trust me, my friend, you are in danger. It's going to affect you sooner or later. And it's with the self-hate and the disrespect the so-called African-Americans have in their communities. Believe me, we need every truth out of the Word, out of the Bible, out of the Scriptures to help us. As you know, Christ said, man shall live, truly flourish by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High. Brother Seth today, Five Smooth Stones host today, is just simply talking about words that proceed out of the mouth of the Father via his word and scriptures. I'm telling you people, this is one of the most important movements of our time. Just be thankful you're living in this day, because 100 years ago, Israel was still serving a sentence, a prison sentence. The Bible says that they'd be taken to a strange land, sold as slaves, be taken back to Egypt, sold as slaves in Deuteronomy 28 and 68. It says that Israel, true Israel, real Israel, will be put in ships. And it talks about all these things they will go through. 100 years ago, they had to go through these things, and it wasn't time for them to be released yet. We're living in a day where we served this country. I'm talking about those of us that's been scattered into America. We served the masters of this land. Our time is up. We have fulfilled our sentence according to the scriptures as a nation. Again, this has nothing to do with individuals. This is why I say please listen to the archives on Amazing Biblical Proof of Black Jews, because we go into how that if you and your house serve the Most High, you're going to be blessed, even though your nation, your kindred, we're not really a part of this country. This is not our home. Yes, it should be our home, having bled, died, paying taxes. But the Bible talks about Israel. When the Most High scattered Israel to the four corners, he talks like Israel is never a part of that land. Just because he scattered them somewhere doesn't mean that's their home. It's very important for people to understand this, because what happens is if you believe a lie that this is your home, and it should be your home, even temporary home from a natural standpoint, because, like I said, we've served taxes, we died in wars, our people, and they bled and died for the right. So, yes, it should be. But look at the way we're treated. Look at the way all of us have been treated, our mothers, our grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, our fathers, great-grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers. Look at us as a people since we've been in this nation. Have we ever been able to say, now this is home? If we sell our souls to them, yes, we can say that. We become very wealthy to where we become a commodity for them, yes, we can say that. But even when you do that, your people still suffer. So you might have a good Oprah. You may have a good Michael. You know, some of us may have it well to some degree, and that's only monetarily. You're still going to suffer for your people. I mean, really, how good is being wealthy if you know your brothers and sisters and cousins and so forth are suffering? So you cannot escape the suffering of Israel if you are an Israelite. And again, we go into how we know where that every single Saturday. People, please tune into the archives and check that out. I just can't go into that right now because we're looking at a special angle right now, Hebrewism versus Christianity. All right. One thing I will give Christianity that I will take away from the Hebrew community is this thing about the gifts of the Spirit. I think the Hebrew community is oblivious with regards to spiritual warfare, demonology, angels versus fallen angels versus not fallen angels. They have no understanding about spiritual laws, corporate anointing, gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, how that relates today. And I think a lot of the churches don't even operate in that, to tell you the truth, but there are some that do. But spiritual warfare is major. I mean, it's almost like saying, it's not saying this, it's almost like saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Christ. That's almost how crazy it is. I shouldn't say, I'm not calling the people crazy, but to not believe and understand spiritual warfare and yet be a believer and a spiritual person, but don't believe in spiritual warfare, but yet you're spiritual, but yet you don't believe it, it is just uncomprehendable on my part. I don't understand. But I meet lots of people that know we're Israel. They see that. They know that the people of Israel is nothing more than judgment. A people that the Most High have brought from the north to occupy that land, and as he ran out his true natural bloodline family, Israelites, to the four corners of the earth. They understand that. But, and they understand the Old Testament law. And it's like they're not given to the Holy Spirit to reveal to him, which is another thing that Christians get. You know, Christianity. And I don't even like to say Christians because, again, that's the name that the enemy gave them. It's more like they're believers or saints. That's more appropriate. But y'all know what I mean when I say Christianity and Christians. That's why I say that. But most Christian churches understand about spiritual warfare. They may not understand everything, but they know that there is a spiritual realm that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Hebrew community, on the other hand, seems to battle the white man. Seems to think the white man, knowing that the Most High said he would come against us and we would be enslaved and we would be taken to the strange lands and to the four corners dispersed in ships, as the Bible says, they still talk about the white man as though he is saved himself. Whereas in a Christian community, and again, there's always an exception on either side, in the Christian community, the vast majority of Christians that I know that there is a devil. They may slip up and say the white man, but when you check them, they say, yeah, you're right. That right there is a major setback for the Hebrew community. We must understand that white people is not our enemy. In a lot of cases, white people are more astute and knowledgeable than some of us. It was a white man that helped me to understand some of the very things I'm saying right now. So what are you going to do with those people that are on point, that are spiritual, that are fear of the Most High, whose skin happens to be white? So you got to be very careful with that one. So that's a major, major setback. And I will go on to say that the Most High can only use you to a certain degree if you don't even understand the battle you're fighting. It'll be like somebody going to Vietnam and think Vietnam people are our friends and think the Americans are our enemies. That's how foolishness that is. It's not, I don't want to say foolish because it's not like they're being foolish. Folks, this is major, 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 major. Please hear me today. My heart's cries that Israel would hear me today. I visit people, and even when I visit my good friends in Demona, I've got to be honest. Y'all know I've said nothing but good things about Damona. Nothing but good things. I talked about the vegan diet, how that they are number one on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, with diet. Nobody can top Damona. Period. Before I went there, it was the Chinese. I had much respect for the Chinese. I had done some studies. But Damona put that to rest with the vegan diet and seeing those black people so healthy. So healthy. Seeing people over 70 years old being very productive, run up and down those mountains. I mean, you got to see Damona before you leave this planet and see what the Most High have done there. But even them, and the much success they have in the community and building up that place from the Israeli government, you know, tried to kick them out of the land when they first come there and say, we are the real Jews. Damona has lots of success. I would say they are the most successful Hebrew community in the world, so-called black Hebrew community, the real Hebrew bloodline community. They are, I would say, number one. But my issue with them is the very same thing I'm talking about right now. When we talk about spirituality, evil spirits, the spiritual warfare, angels, yes, they believe in demons. They absolutely do. I remember talking to several people. They do believe in evil spirits. When you talk about the gifts of the spirit, the nine gifts of the spirit, operating there, people operating in a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of miracle, that means the Holy Spirit moves upon you and you perform a show enough miracle. I mean, undisputed, eye-popping miracle. It's happening, folks. You can laugh all you want to, but wherever you see people on TV faking and shaking, there is a real one somewhere. That's what the fake is. That's what deception is. It was birthed out of truth. There is truth, and then somebody can't get the, you know, you got a miracle happening. People are blessed by it, transformed by it, and somebody else want to duplicate, then they can't, so they go in the area of deception. So whenever you see any phony people in any area, know that somewhere there is the truth. Today we're talking about the good ones, the truth, the real gifts. What are you going to do with that? I talked to several people, and I'm not picking on Damona, but I'm just letting you know because I've said so many wonderful things. I use their music all the time. I use images of their people all the time because they are the most successful Hebrew community. This is where the church has light years over the Israelite community. Lots of churches, even though they may not understand who Israel is, they have these gifts operating. I know somebody may say, well, if they have the gifts operating, why can't they see who Israel is? It is such a major thing to see the Bible as a book of dark-skinned people. White supremacy has so got us brainwashed and just deceived to even when the Most High says it, sometimes we just feel like, well, that must not be the Most High. That's the voice of Satan. That's how strong white supremacy is. I'm telling you because I lived it. I have fought this message more than I have preached this message. I've heard about this a long time ago. I heard about this message a long time ago, but for years and years and years and years and years, I fought it. I fought leprosy. There's no way in the world that leprosy, Bible leprosy, a type of Bible leprosy, one type of Bible leprosy is vitiligo or albinism. There is nowhere in the world. Y'all hating white people, I don't want to hear that mess. Get that out of my face. I fought that and fought that and fought that and fought that and fought that until I read Leviticus 13 myself and began to see Leviticus 13 where it talks about somebody is turning white. Their body literally is turning white. And I'm looking at people today in 2011 who's going through that. And then in 2 Kings 5, the very last verse, somebody's cursed with whiteness and their teeth forever. It changed my whole life. I asked the Most High years ago 5 questions, and he gave me 5 answers, and those 5 answers are 5 topics that I preach on or I teach on. I call those 5 topics 5 smooth stones. Leprosy is one of them. Who are the real Hebrews and the real Israelites is another one. One world government, the new world order is another one. White supremacy is another one. And the solution to all this, the kingdom of the Most High that is coming, is another one. And in that we talk about the book of Revelation. So back to the Hebrew question. Israelites, Hebrews, whatever you call yourself, Hebrew Israelites, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, you will be insignificant. You will only achieve a certain amount of success as long as you fight the gifts of the Spirit. It's major, major, major. This is your weapon. This is how the Most High works through you by His Spirit. Sometimes you're going to need the Spirit to rise up in you and tell you something that nobody knows. Have you ever seen women or men? All of a sudden, they're going somewhere, and they stop in their tracks, and they get this overwhelming feeling that something is happening bad at the house. And they call the house, or they go by the house, and yes, there is something going on. What was that? There's thousands of testimonies I know out there, probably millions of people that have experienced it. I know y'all know somebody that experienced that. What do you say about that? If it happened one time, it's real. If it happened just one time, it's real. If somebody is somewhere and they know for certain their son or daughter is in trouble and they call them right there at that time, they're in trouble. If it happened one time, it's real. But it hasn't happened one time. It hasn't happened probably millions of times. What is that? That's a word of knowledge. How can you say it's passed away and it's happening? I mean, help me out here. We have a phone line. Some of y'all on the phone, go ahead and click 1 on your phone. Go ahead and click 1. Talk to me. Those in the chat room, talk to me. I want to say shalom to everybody in the chat room, by the way, and on the phone line. But I need y'all to talk to me today. I would like to know what is going on with it. How can you be successful and you don't know what your AK-47 is, and you don't know what your tank is, and you don't know what your hand grenade is, and you don't know what your bulletproof vest is? How can you be successful? The Hebrew community needs the church as bad as they need their next breath. The church needs the revelations that the Hebrews have. You've got to understand who Israel is, because you're going to be following and supporting the very people that the Most High said He would bring from the north. I will bring from the north. I will bring from the north a nation to occupy Israel as a punishment. You are paying homage to the people that He brought as a punishment. You are way off. A wicked nation come from the north. A whirlwind coming from the north. One scripture says, I will bring all of the families of the north to set up camp in Israel. And there you are. Oh, boy. We're going to be all right. We are going to be all right. Again, we talk about this on Saturdays. We go heavily into the scriptures about. We talk about things like this on Sundays at 3:30 this time. We talk about general characteristics that Israel is supposed to have as a people. We go to the Bible looking for general characteristics that's to be upon Israel. Things like Israel would sigh. Sigh. That means to say one word that it's like saying, oh man, or wow, or S word or the F word or whatever people say when they're frustrated. It's words of frustration, phrases of frustration. Sigh. Israel would sigh. Israel would sigh. General characteristics. You work all the days of your life, you won't enjoy your labor. General characteristics. You have sons and daughters that you won't enjoy them for they'll be taken to captivity. We talk about things that's supposed to be upon their sons, what's going to happen to their daughters. We talk about what's supposed to happen to their women, what's supposed to happen to their men, how their priest is supposed to behave. I did an episode where we talked about mostly how the priest of Israel is to behave. Looking at that blog and looking at how our preachers behave today is scary. I mean, it's just flat out scary. We are Israel, or as the Hebrew would say, Yisrael. We're the people of the book, folks. I'm talking about so-called African Americans whose forefathers were brought to the Americas in slave ships. We are the people of the book. If there's anybody else that have lived out Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and the whole Bible, really, they're nothing more than one of the other 11 tribes. That's all there is to it. But the people in Israel today, again, one of the major differences between Christianity and the Hebrew community is the Hebrew community see them as a punishment brought from the Most High, from the North. That's what the Crusades was all about. As the Pope said to his, I can't think of the words I'm looking for, congregants, let us go and wrestle the hand, this land out of the hands of the infidels. He was saying, let us go down to Israel and wrestle that land from the people that was occupying that land. And that began the widening up of that region. Simple and plain. So on Sundays we talk about even the characteristics of the oppressor, the people that rule over Israel, how they supposed to act, where they're going to come from. We talk about that on Sundays at 3:30. Listen to the archives. Listen to the archives, folks. There's very few programs you're going to hear where you're going to actually see these types of prophecies that we bring out. Okay? And while I'm at it, on Tuesday night, we have something called the Federation, or that means Uniting Federation of the International Israelites. This is where we try to interview people that's been scattered to the four corners that live out these curses. I know some of y'all believers and Christians, this is another difference. I guess this will be a plus for the Christians in one way, but some of y'all really don't like to be called cursed. You know, you've in your church, you're taught that you're blessed, 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 and prosper. And you know what? There is some truth to that. Again, if you and your house serve the Most High, you will avoid these curses as far as your household. But I'm not talking about just you. This blog today is talking about a nation of people that's inside of a nation. Israel has been scattered to the four corners among all nations, but she is still one nation to the Most High. That's why it's vitally important we get this truth out to people and let people know you're not a part of this nation, because we keep getting our heart broke over and over and over and over again. I think by the time we get to a Barack Obama, we're going to be done with this country. I got a feeling they're going to do something very wicked to this man. I'm not going to go into what I think it is right now, but I'm telling you, they're showing their colors. We're not welcome here. We should be. It should be our land, and somebody's going to argue, no, it is our land. We've died, fought. You can say that all you want. You can say that the house or the apartment you're in right now is yours. But if you can't lay down when you want to lay down, you can't go into the refrigerator when you want to go into the refrigerator, you can't sit on the couch and grab the remote and look at any program you want to, is that really your home? It should be. Oh, yeah, for sure. But is it? We can argue all day long. America's our home. I don't care. You can argue that all day long, but if it's a place where your people have never rested the soles of their feet, for real, is that really your home? If it's not, it's just not. I'm not saying you should leave and go back to Israel. I'm not preaching that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just understanding why we go through what we go through and how to change our plight as a nation. Our plight can be changed. There is a rainbow of blessings for those that seek the Most High. Like I said, your house can be blessed. And the Most High did say that after we served this Pharaoh for 400 years, he would bring us out. And guess what, my friend? We've served this Pharaoh for 400 years. I believe right now what's happening with the whole, even with interracial mixing, I think there's a changing of the guard. How can white people rule if they don't have a woman? How can they rule when the black gene is dominant and we're mixing so heavy? That's what I talked about on yesterday. Again, check out the archives. So I'm saying things are going to change. Things are changing. Israel is right. Believe that. Don't believe America, ABC, CBS, CNN. If you listen to them, as Al Sharpton said, very seldom, well, I agree with some things Al Sharpton said, but this was profound. He said, if we as a people continue to listen to ABC, CBS, and CNN, can we ever really be free? Your oppressors is never going to tell you what you need to hear that you might become a vibrant, strong people. Never, ever. Quit listening to them folks long time ago. What I'm saying is, folks, you got to understand we are a nation within a nation. We are not at home. Home is not where it should be. Home is where you can experience the peace of ownership. Let's finish talking about the difference between Hebrews and Christians. What's the difference between Hebrews and Christians? So, looking at end time events, what is going to happen in our world? How is things going to, what's going to unfold? How is this thing going to end? If the church is looking for the people in Israel to do this, that, and the other. Daystar, the Word Network, these people is what the vast majority of our people and the church community is listening to. The right, the religious right, run every one of those stations. None of these stations endorse Barack Obama as president. I mean, before y'all start hating, some of y'all don't like him now, but even when he hadn't done nothing wrong, none of these networks endorses black man. What does that mean on a natural, fleshly level? I mean, before he even started, fresh face, fresh family lineage, no ties to the mob, to the Illuminati, a black man out of Chicago, TBN, Daystar, Word Network, all these major religious broadcasting centers did not endorse him. They endorsed John McCain. That should say something right there. All of these people endorse Israel. Israel. The so-called Jews in the land of Israel today, all of these institutions endorse the existence of a homeland for those people. Not for the true Jews, but for those people who they think is the true Jews. Many of these people have been heard this information we're sharing today about Deuteronomy 28 and how the so-called African Americans and other non-white people scattered to the four corners are living out these curses more than any other people. And somebody said, why are they not living out the blessings? There's also blessings in Deuteronomy 28. Well, nobody's living out the blessings. No nation is that obedient the way they're living out Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Moses even said after he leaves that Israel would be a rebellious people. So you look for the curses. Furthermore, we're living them out. Talks about your young men not fathering their children. Now, I can't go off into it because, again, we've already talked about this, folks. Today I'm focusing on a different light, Judaism versus Christianity. But it talks about many things. Your son not fathering your children, briefly, I'll say a few Your son, our father, and your children, talks about you be scattered to the four corners of the earth, that you work all the days of your life, you won't enjoy your labor. Said that the people that rule over you, it's going to be very high, you're going to be very low. Talk about your mothers, the women, not being good mothers. Also, make sure not to sacrifice. That don't mean burning incense and all that stuff. That means when you say something like, go watch TV, something you know is anti-us, you'd rather be in the other room doing something else with your kids, and they're looking at something totally against everything you stand for, we stand for, and just not mothering like a mother should do. And this is not every single woman, every single mother, but it does talk about how the men would not father their children, how the women would offer their children up to sacrifice. And all that means, in modern-day terms, is offer your children up to something foreign to the Most High. And our women is doing it every day. But there's other scriptures and Psalms that talk about how, you know, David's crying out and said to the Most High, you've made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the people. Oh, Most High, you made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the people. Deuteronomy 28 talks about you make us a byword, a proverb among the nations. We can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Some of y'all know this, and you've been on this. We've read over this forever. Again, listen to the archive. Back to the difference between Hebrews and Jews. We got our end-time prophecies totally mixed up. We are as different as night and day. The Israelites got one thing they believe. The Christians got a whole nother. They're looking at Israel. They're looking for the Messiah who's have blonde hair and blue eyes. Even the Bible, that's another major difference. The Israelite community is getting there. They're still not there. The Bible is a book of nothing but nappy head, braided hair, dread, probably using no comb back then, not many. Locks, dark skin people. Israel and Lamentations talked about what color they were. Our skin is blacker than a coal. Our business was blacker than an oven. This is meaning faith. Most High gets upset with Israel and Isaiah and say, I'm going to take away your nose jewelry, your feet jewelry, your jewelry of the forehead. Who wears nose jewelry, feet jewelry, jewelry of the forehead? Moses' hand turned white. We talk about that on Saturday. How can your hand turn white if you're already white? Moses passed the Pharaoh's grandson. Pharaoh was obviously a black man. All scholars agree on that. Jethro's daughters came in. Jethro asked him, who saved you from the calamity that y'all was facing? And Jethro's daughter said, an Egyptian, speaking of Moses. Paul was mistaken for an Egyptian. Folks, the Bible is full of dark skin. The church and the Hebrew community are divided right down the middle over this. One of them see, if I tell you right now to close your eyes, watch this. Here's a test I'm going to play on all of y'all. Please do it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm about to prove my point without even talking to you. Close your eyes right now and imagine the Messiah feeding the multitude. We're talking about Yeshua, or some people say Jesus. See him feeding the multitude right now. Close your eyes. Him and his disciples, they're dispersing this bread, feeding the multitude. All right, snap out of it. If you saw a scene that looked like inner city Atlanta, you are exempt from what I'm about to say. I don't know who you are that you have the wherewithal to see that. I don't know who you sit under church-wise or synagogue-wise or where you get your teaching. But you, my friend, are a sharp individual in regards to this subject. get excused from what I'm about to say. If you saw white people in the picture at all, if the disciples were white, blonde hair, blue eye, red hair, even light skin, you know who I'm talking to right now. That is a part of the white supremacy inside of you. We've been brainwashed, if you see that. Now, I don't see it, but it's not about me personally, right? I'm just sharing. If you saw any white people inside of your mind just then, you need every word I'm saying, and you need to listen to every blog about this, and you need to start researching your Bible and seeing if these things be so. I submit to you the people of the book, all of them, from Genesis to Matt, were people of color. And I don't mean olive. That's another lie, this olive thing. These people were Africans, dark-skinned people. How do I know? I have overwhelming information on it. Overwhelming. To where you get tired of me talking. Click on my program, our blog, on Saturday when I talk about what white skin is, and you will see beyond a shadow of doubt there is no way in the world that the Messiah, that the Most High was going to send the Messiah to this earth with white skin, seeing what white skin really is and how it come about. Did you know this? Now, I'm going to sound very racist if you are a white supremacist in mind. If you've been really taught a lot by Caucasians, I'm about to bump up against some inside of you right now. And I'm going to ask you to stay with me. Because what I'm about to say is going to run some of y'all. Did you know that if Adam and Eve had not have sinned, that there would be no tall people on the planet? No excessive tall people where it hurt their joints and all that? No excessive short people where it hurt their joints and all that? No people with memory loss? We would live forever. I know it sounds like utopia, but we're talking about the Bible now. The Most High made us live forever, and doctors would even say that we can shed a sin after a year. We get a fresh set of skin. Our skin sheds all the time. We get new lungs. Everything reproduces after step after a while. That's fine all day long. After about a year, you get everything new. Now, if you're ill, of course, you know, you still get a new set of whatever. But, I mean, if it's tainted with cancer or something, that's a whole different conversation. But anyway, folks, listen to me. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, we would not suffer anything that caused pain. And I'm going to tell you something else. We would not have lost pigmentation. Losing pigmentation, where your pigmentation actually goes slow, vitiligo, is one type of leprosy. To be born an albino is a type of leprosy. But from an albino mixing with a non-albino, a person dark-skinned, full of melanin, come all the colors of the world. That white hair mixing with that black hair brings gray. That gray mixing with that black brings another color. Whatever that color is mixing with, as this albino mixed with the people made from the dust of the earth, the dark hue of the earth, come all people. As that light hair, that albino, that recessive mutation, mixed hair mixed with the black hair, all hairs come. All color hairs inside of black hair. All color pupils, eyes, pupils are inside of black pupils. All color skin is inside of that dark humus, the dark soil we call humus, H-U-M-M-A-S, where we get the word human. All colors of skin is inside of that. Melanin and dirt is just the same exact thing. We talk about this on Saturday at 11 a.m. Listen to the archives I have on by audio. A young lady named Dr. Jewel Pookrum. She's not a young lady, but Dr. Jewel Pookrum, who's an authority on melanin. I try to get the best people to talk about this. She's an expert, and she goes into explaining that the properties that's inside of the dirt is the same properties inside of melanin. So we have this body. All of us are white. People don't like that when I say it, but it's true. All of us are white. You ever seen a black person losing pigmentation? What color is the skin once they lose that black? It's white. That's what color they are up under that black skin. So we all are white. It's just that some of us that have more melanin, it has this extra property and whatever extra powers that this melanin that the Most High created, this earth, produced. Dr. Jewel Pookrum does an amazing job talking about what's inside of melanin. You can also go to YouTube. Don't go now. Obviously, I want your attention. But write this name down, J-E-W-E-L Pookrum. And don't forget to go to my front page, blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstones. 5 smooth stones. Separate the 5 and the smooth with underscores. Click on my library. You can get more books on what we're talking about, scholars that go more into this. This is something that the Hebrew community, a lot of them know more than the churches. The churches are oblivious to what I just said, most of them. The Hebrew community, they embrace this, but even when they close their eyes, because they've been raised under white supremacy, they even see white people. It is totally, almost ludicrous to see white people in the Bible. They're in Africa, pretty much. Africa and Israel share the same Teutonic plate. And I love it when I would go to Dimona and they would say to me, "Welcome to North Africa." Because that's the truth. We don't acknowledge the Suez Canal, and neither should you. Some man-made scheme to separate that land from the Holy Land. Differences today between Hebrewism and Christianity, what we're talking about. The Hebraic, to me, this is kind of small because all this Hebrew stuff is suspect to me. I'm sorry. I have a hard time trusting people that the Most High brought into the land as a punishment. As he ran natural Israel out of the land, I have a hard time believing anything from those people. So this whole Hebraic language, I have a hard time with. This is why I say this to my Hebrew brothers and sisters. Quit beating up these people in these churches when they say Jesus. The Most I know exactly who we're saying. Yes, we can talk about the Hebrew, but can you say with 100% assurity that what you call in Hebrew is Hebrew? I don't care if you go get a paleo out or whatever you get. So anyway, I hate to go there, but it's the truth. So you know, at first I was studying Hebrew until I started seeing some things with these people, and I hate somebody trying to tell me. I don't like somebody telling. It's like we got to go to them, figure out what we spoke, and anybody that you got to go to find out what you used to be obviously ain't going to tell you everything. And they can laugh at you and say, like, for instance, you ever heard of Ruach Kodesh? Well, the truth of the matter is, Kodesh is spirit. I mean, Ruach is spirit. Kodesh is holy. We're actually saying spirit holy. We try to say Holy Spirit. And that's small, but I'm just saying this. We're saying it backwards. And everybody I know say Ruach Kodesh. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things. I don't put a lot of stock in the Hebrew at all. The Most I know, when we call on him, we're calling on the Elohim that created the heavens, the God that created the heavens and the earth. He knows what we're doing. We're calling on you. When we talk about the Son of the Most High, we're talking about Mary's baby. We're talking about the one that walked the water. He knows who we're talking about. For those of you Israelites, and I do give you points that you are able to study this Hebrew and say these names, but I don't put a whole lot of stock in them. And yes, I'm going to go here too. Some of y'all going to not like me on this, but I'm going to go here too. The Sabbath. People really try to get their righteousness, and this is where the Hebrew community is falls way behind the church. The church understands, I think the vast majority of preachers that I've met that talk this, understand that the Most High never wanted just one day. We're supposed to walk with him in the garden like Adam daily, all day. We're supposed to be here. Israel was such a knucklehead people. He instituted this, okay, just give me one day. We've taken that day in the Hebrew community and made this day holier than all the other days, which is ludicrous. It's not saying that they're stupid. I'm not saying that. But he never wanted just one day. Our lives are bought with the price. We are slaves to the Most High in a good way. We waive our rights and follow him. We take up our cross, close to daily, and follow his plan, his direction, his goals, his priorities. Our life is not our own. When do we get just one day? What are we supposed to be doing the other day? Our whole life is supposed to be a sacrifice in him. We're supposed to cease from working, not work on the job, but like the Sabbath is a time of rest, Christ talks about this rest that we're supposed to get all the time because we're trusting in him and we lean on him and we're looking on him. If you do this and have this proper perspective, you'll find yourself not working some days and sitting and giving in him everything that he said do on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath. And the way Sabbath, some of y'all, you know, you don't work, you do this and that. If we got the other perspective that the church is trying to get, if we can get that, automatically we will be doing that more than just on Saturdays. Maybe we'll continue to do it on Saturdays, but it'll flow into other days. The Most High wants us always on a Sabbath. Our life is supposed to be at peace, having ceased from working, working meaning trying to do things on our own. Peace, inner peace. Want a fruit of the Spirit? When the Spirit is dominating your life, you have this peace that the Shabbat is supposed to bring. Folks have made the Shabbat out of a whole nother religion. It's like, I know folks that just, they won't do but certain things on the Shabbat. Then on Sunday, you know the institution laws of the New Testament? Folks, I keep the Shabbat. I'm letting y'all know that right now. Most I said you're supposed to do this forever, Israel. But when Christ came, he instituted something even better. If you follow that, your life is a Shabbat. And I'm sure he wants 7 days more than one day. But I can, for the sake of me, cannot get people to understand that. This is where, again, I feel the church is light years ahead of the Hebrew community. Again, don't think I don't keep the Shabbat. I do. Because the Most High said we're supposed to keep these 2 days, and the Shabbat is one of them. Yes, I do keep it. But I try to extend that into a life, not just one day. Again, the Hebrew community falls far behind the church on this. Sad, sad, sad. Okay? So, like I said earlier about the names, I think the Hebrew community has got that right for us with the proper name. G-O-D is so close to D-O-G, it ain't funny, God. So that's why the Hebrew community don't like saying the word God. It's so close to God, it's like disrespectful, and they like calling his name. I think the Psalms 68 was saying God should call his name Jah. When you look at the Hebrew on that, Jah, J-A-H, ain't no J in the Hebrew language. Psalm 68:4 was talking about the word Yah. That's the proper name of the Father. But again, with trusting Strong's concordance, who is Strong's? The Strong's family. Who is James Strong? He's a white man. How can we trust what he says? The Paleo Hebrew, those of y'all that's quoting from that, you're trusting these same people. Y'all want to say that, you know, don't have this, don't have that, they're the enemy, blah, blah, blah. So there you go, trusting your own enemy. So I don't know. I say call him the Almighty. Call the Son the Messiah. Call him Emmanuel. That shut everybody up. Call him the Messiah or the Son of the Most High. or Emmanuel, or Christ, which means anointed one. What's wrong with that? Let's find ways to get along with each other. Okay? So the feast days is something that Israel was commanded to keep. And so I think the churches, they knew this so-called African Americans was Israel, then they would be saying to African Americans to keep the feast days. So they do believe that the so-called Jews ought to do it. But they're oblivious as to who Israel really is. So obviously not going to be teaching about no feast days. Diet, diet, diet. Hands down, the Hebrew Israelites or the Israelites have this down pack over the church. The church, again, there are exceptions. There are churches that are teaching the word so strong, you know, you would think they're like Hebrew Israelites in this area because they are already on the whole no pork thing and animals that chew at the cud, there's different things. They know how to eat. There's a lot of churches that know how to eat, but the vast majority of them, if they didn't have even so-called prayer lines or prayer requests, they are sick, sick, sick. High blood pressure, diabetes, whole nine yards. This is where my friends in Dimona are light years ahead of all Hebrew Israelite community. Okay? So lots of points there for the Israelite community. Okay? Women and how they behave. Hands down, the Israelite community is light years ahead of the church. It depends. Church of God in Christ, I think, have this really tight. Their women dress modest. They are not revealing. The Church of God in Christ don't play that. Bishop J.H. Mason was very serious about that, and he really laid that down. So, but I think the community for sure is light years away from the church, because most of the Hebrew women are wrapped. Even some of their hair is wrapped. The Bible talks about how even hair a woman can be sensuous. And so women don't mean any harm. They're not trying to be hookers or nothing, but a lot of times they don't understand that the way they dress, men are supposed to like breasts, period, end of story. If they see them, they're supposed to look, they're supposed to like it. The truth of the matter is they ain't supposed to see them. Men are supposed to like thighs. Men are supposed to like butts. If they see it, they are designed and engineered and manufactured to like it, to be extremely attractive. Extremely attractive. I was looking at it now. I have to go here so women can understand it, because they don't have a clue about this. But I was shocked. You know, I stumbled upon some mating. YouTube got everything. And I seen this company that mating and clicked on it. It was showing these animals mating. Horses. And I don't mean it. This is just life. It's real. It's nothing to run away from. It's history. It's as needed as your next breath. Mating. Animals mating is just as natural and normal and godly as anything in the Bible. And I was just shocked at the violence, the magnetic attraction that the male horse have towards the female horse when they're in heat. It just blew me away. That's exactly, even though we're not animals, but that's why some men act the way they act. And I used to think we was being disrespectful or ignorant or whatever, and we just lose it when we see a woman with a big butt or whatever you like, your flavor. You know, I used to think there was just something wrong with us, spirit of lust. You know, being disrespectful, being just oversexed, or whatever all these names get old. And I realized we're just normal. That is exactly the way you're supposed to act when you see certain body parts. The truth of the matter is, like in the Arab world, you're not supposed to see it. And when you do see it, that's going to be your wife. Then you can be that way. Only towards one woman. So when these women go to church and they minding their own business, a lot of these women don't mean no harm. They ain't trying to get nobody. Some of them do dress a certain way to bring certain, you know. But some women, they just simply mind their own business, and they're not trying to do anything other than just simply, you know. So Brother Dow down under, this brother says, I have leprosy. Am I allowed in the chat room? Whoever said you wasn't allowed in the chat room. Okay, we can't change. I think you're trying to be facetious, but just so you know, we're talking about Bible. If the Bible declares something, it declares something. Now, Christ has come, died, rose, left. None of that matters now. It doesn't matter a hill of beans, who's white or black or none of that. But we talk about whiteness, and that's on another day. That's on Saturday. So to let people know how we all came these different colors. That's the only reason we bring up leprosy, not to put anybody down. Okay, so that's the only thing I don't like about bringing up leprosy, because people are just a little bit, and it's natural and it's normal, and I understand what you're saying. It does come off a little bit, you know, but I don't mean any harm, okay? So Patriot Greg, you don't have to say anything back to him. I understand the brother, because we are all about love here. At Five Smooth Stones, Brother Seth ain't got time for no hatred. If anybody bring drama, I'm going to kick you out of the chat room. If you're on the line and you say it, I'm going to hang up on you. We ain't trying to disrespect no white people, because we believe, and I already told y'all, we're one family. When people have vitiligo and they're losing black skin, what color are they? They're white. We're all white. It's just some of us have extra. We have this melanin thing. Okay, so y'all got to listen to me and hear my heart today, because like we're talking about the Hebrew names. The Hebrew Israelites is all concerned about saying Yahweh or Yah or all these things, but in the Christian community, just, you know, just calling on the right person, they're using the wrong name, and I personally don't think the Most High get all bent out of shape. So is it with this whole leprosy thing. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Maybe I don't use the proper words, maybe I don't use the proper tone, but my heart is, this is how we all come into being. We have put up with white supremacy for a very long time, feeling like black skin was curse, and now all of a sudden, we see that black skin in Leviticus 13, when your skin was dark, then were you actually considered better off. And that's Bible. That's covered on Saturday. Y'all need to come to my Saturday broadcast. We're looking at all these scriptures. Today we're talking about Hebrewism versus Christianity. I'm using the King James Version Bible, Leviticus 13 and 13. When Moses stuck his hand in his bosom, took out his hand was white. Okay? He was already white. Why was his hand be white? When Miriam was smitten with leprosy, Aaron standing by literally describes what she's looking like. He says to his brother, Moses, alas, my Lord. And I'm going to entertain y'all just for about 1 minute because I don't want to get off the subject. But I do respect you enough to try to clarify myself, and that's the only reason why I'm doing it. So everybody else, please be patient because I don't want to be insensitive to anybody. But for their sake, 1 minute. Just give them a couple of minutes. But when Miriam was smitten with leprosy, her brother standing by, he looks at Moses and he says, alas, my Lord, they call each other back then, Lord, alas, my Lord, let her not be as. Whatever he say next is going to tell you what just happened to his sister. If leprosy was sores and all this pus and fingers falling all off like they show what modern day, what most preachers are saying leprosy is, why is he about to describe what he's about to describe? Let her not be as one who is dead when he comes from his mother's womb. Talking about a stillborn baby. Whose flesh is half consumed. Stillborn baby's flesh is not half consumed. It's not, and I think that's Exodus 12 and I think 10. And I know with Moses it's Exodus 4 and 6. So, anyway, so just getting back focus here. He says, alas, my Lord, let it not be as one whose flesh is half consumed. Half consumed just means half colored. I was preaching this in Columbus, Ohio one time. A nurse interrupted me. I allowed people to interrupt me and said, oh, you are absolutely right. She says, I deliver babies, and every single stillborn baby I ever delivered, none of them have any pigmentation. You can look right to their skin, that reddish whiteness. In other words, when you kind of look at your lip or inside of your mouth, rather, or if you look under your eyelids, or when look at even the palm of your hand, some of you, that's the reddish white look that has no pigmentation, and that's what she was saying. That is the look or the color of leprosy. And let me just say something else, and then I want to move on off this leprosy thing, okay? Okay? Look outside your planet. I'm gonna give you something real strong, real quick, and we're gonna move on. Look outside your window right now, please, please, everyone, look outside your window. This is gonna nail this down quick, fast, and hurry. Look outside your window. What color do you see? You see brown and green, brown and green. Bible said the Most High made man out of the dust of the earth. I want you to look outside your window. Please, brown, green and brown. Black people are the color of that dust. They're not the color that top dust, dig a little deep and get the darker dust out, darker dirt, the human, or we get the word human. They are the color of that soil. Okay? I want y'all to listen to me. Don't get sidetracked talking about, we're talking about, right for the next minute, we're talking about how we became the different colors. What color was the Adam and Eve? And from talking about this, we can nail this lie that everything started white. We can nail that lie, and we can get rid of this lie that the Bible is full of white people. The Most High did not make us red and yellow, black and white. No, he didn't. He made us brown. And when sin entered the picture, we lost the ability to produce the brown or the earth. We started losing our earth through something called vitiligo, or we was born albino, blonde hair, blue eyes, or either white hair, gray eyes. We started losing that pigmentation. Folks, this is biology 101 for some of y'all. Y'all know in biology they cover this thing, the black being the dominant gene. This is no point for the black man. This is no minus point, minus the white man. This is just simply science and Bible. Science and Bible, they will agree. Okay? So, like I said, if you looked out the window, Euro chick, and you seen brown and green, the people look like, black people look like the people of that dirt. Now, I want to ask you a question. What color, as I think somebody just said in the chat, remain Patriot Gray, what color is white people? White people is not a color. There is no color on the planet, no plant, nothing you can see that's the color of white people. But I don't want to divide us up like white people versus black people. We're the same human beings. I'm just saying to you that white, the color white is a mutation. Okay, I went over my minute. Let me get back up on my subject. I don't want to get sidetracked with this. We covered this heavily on yesterday. Again, we're made from the dust of the earth, and there is no color. So this is not a slap in the face to white people. I just said we all are white. I mean, how can anybody be racist if I'm saying to you that I'm white? I'm saying to you right now I'm white, and everybody in this chat room, everybody on the line, everybody listening, everybody on the planet is white. There's not one person walking around on this planet that does not have the features of white people. The deal is we have something called melanin. It's more than just coat you from the sun, as they say. It's more than that. That melanin is nothing more than earth. And within melanin is every property that's inside of dirt. And y'all know dirt has a lot of properties inside of it. That's all we're saying, okay? Again, we ain't on no racist thing. So let's finish talking about the difference between Hebrewism and the church. I'm looking through everything, see if I covered everything. Oh, another thing is the law versus grace. The law versus grace. The law versus grace. Here's another strike for our Hebrew community. The Hebrew community, Hebrew Israelites, is really stuck on this law. Matter of fact, I have met people that is trying to be justified by the law, the keeping of the law. They're literally trying to be justified by the keeping of the law. I mean, I'm serious. I know people. I had a brother tell me, he said, we're justified by the law. We're justified by keeping y'all's laws. This is the exact word, Yahweh's laws, and yes, a little bit of grace too. Those are the exact words. And yes, oh, like an afterthought, yeah, a little bit of grace too. Folks, righteousness has to be given to us. Period. If the Most High wants us righteous, He cannot trust us to be righteous, because everybody since Adam have dropped the ball. Righteousness is a gift. Christ came, lived, died, and rose. Christ came, lived, died, and rose. Christ came, lived, died, and rose. And his righteousness, he is our righteousness. This lamb slain before the foundation of the earth is our righteousness. It's that simple. For those of you that are trying to work for your righteousness, and I don't want to try to be controlling or nothing, but, well, I just asked in the chat room that we stay on the same subject, folks. Again, on yesterday we talked about the whole gene thing and the leprosy thing. It's not fair, you know, those in the chat room that may want to say some things about this subject for y'all. You can talk about whatever you want to do, grown folks, but I'm just asking you just as a, you know, the moderator to let's stick with the subject, because we need y'all knowledge and information on what we're talking about, okay? We can cover that on Saturday, all right? So, Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Those of you Israelites, Hebrew Israelites, that are trying to simply justify, you're trying to keep the Shabbat, and that's good, and you're doing all these things, but you've returned to your heritage, and I understand this. Some of us are very excited to find out with Israel, the true Israelites, bloodline Israelites, that live out the scriptures more than any other people. Again, if anybody live out the scriptures, more so than the African American, they're nothing more than our brothers and sisters scattered to one of the four corners of the earth. It's just that simple. Clear cut. But anyway, and you're right, Euro Chick, self-righteousness is false righteousness. Absolutely. And there's a lot of people in the Hebrew Israelite community that's trying to go about establishing their own righteousness. Folks, if Moses needed to offer up a sacrifice for his sins, and Elijah and Jeremiah, what in the world are y'all doing? And those of y'all that haven't accepted the Messiah, I mean, I'm not disrespecting you because you have your reasons for not believing in the Messiah, but I have just got one simple question for you. If you do not accept the Messiah's gift, his blood shed, you better have some Levitical priests offering up bulls, lambs, goats, something for your sins, as you are in your sins as we speak. And do you know what the Most High did to people that was in their sins? It was that sacrifice that caused him not to wipe out people. He opened the earth and swallowed up people because they weren't righteous by way of sacrifices. If you're walking around and you don't accept the Messiah, what are you doing? Your righteousness, as the Bible says, is as filthy rags. The Hebrew community, the so-called Hebrew Israelite community, is far, far, far off the mark on this. The church is biblically based and sound on this. Only through Christ's sacrifice and the lamb, he was our lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Only by him can we approach the Father. So why do you pray? How do you pray? How do you approach Yah or God? How do you talk to him? Talking to you that don't accept the Messiah. Major, major, major problem within the Hebrew camp. So do y'all see what I'm saying? That we need help. We need help. We've got to really listen to each other and embrace each other. Israelites think because they realize that so-called black people, the people of the book, that gives them extra points. No, I don't.
You can't throw away the baby with the bathwater. Some of y'all got delivered off drugs in churches. Some of y'all got delivered from this, or you no longer do this anymore. You no longer do that anymore. Some of y'all have grew up in these churches, and you owe it a lot. Don't burn down the bridge that brought you over. Don't burn down the bridge that brought you over. Don't wreck the belief system of your forefathers and your elders. I'm saying, okay, you might find the proper way to call his name. Fine. But did you know, for those of y'all that studied the Strong's Concordance, you put a lot of confidence in Strong's. Did you know that the Strong's Concordance definition of the word name means character and authority? Character and authority has nothing to do with what you utter out of your mouth when you're trying to call somebody to get their attention. Hey, John. Hey, Mike. That's their, not their name. That's their name. That's a part of it. It's a very small part of it. Their name is their true character and their authority. What comes with that character? The authority they whatever authority they have as a person. That's their true name. Not what you call the Most High. What if you have vocal cords and you can't talk? Can you not be saved? Can you not pray because you can't utter the proper Hebrew enunciation? Major, major, major problem. And like I said last time, I'm still covering things I covered last week. I apologize. I feel like I'm going to get to some new stuff. And I have mentioned some new stuff along the way, so, but a lot of this I mentioned last week, so I apologize. But some of y'all, we got a lot of first-time listeners, and you didn't hear me last week, so I'm sure you probably know the difference. But another thing between, I think a lot of the Hebrew community is just flat-out rebel. And hopefully I've done such a job, y'all don't know if I'm Israelite or Hebrew. I think I said earlier, but I hope to be very fair to both camps. But I do believe a lot of Israelites, and I'm talking about mainly the ones I see on Facebook. Facebook is like a magnet to Hebrew Israelites. There's a lot of people that I think that seem to want to argue. And I think what it is within the Hebrew community, there's a lot of Bible studies, and there's not a lot of major churches that house such beliefs. And so these people find themselves in Bible studies, and they lack leadership. They lack a lot of the things that are instituted in these churches. And the churches are off on a lot of areas. I mean, I have major, major issues with the church. But they do, at least they have structure. That's one thing, they do have structure. Okay, the structure might be for the wrong reason, might be teaching our people. Well, I hear you, what you're saying, Patriot Greg. Hey, Patriot Greg, because you're causing division not only among blacks and whites, but among the brethren with your theory. It's very simple and plain. All you got to do is just listen to the things I've said, and you have your opinion. You have opinion. And if I'm doing that, you are absolutely right in that it's not wise. But I don't think I'm doing that at all. I think I'm sharing what are the strong points with, as far as the leprosy thing, we shouldn't even be talking about that. That's just advertised that we talk about it. That should be on Saturday when I got 2 hours to really slow down and explain my true intention. So that would be the only thing that, you know, I would think. White and more, and I've got a lot of white people listening on Saturday. As far as today, I disagree with you, Patriot Greg, big time. I think this is probably hitting you in such a way because I don't know if you're Hebrew or not, but a lot of Hebrews feel like they got it over Christians. A lot of Christians feel like they got it over Hebrews. I'm just simply sharing like how we both can complement each other. I don't know no other way to bring people together. You have two people fighting, and you break up the fight and say, what happened? Well, he hit me. Well, why did he hit you? And you listen to one side, you listen to the other side, you share with this person what they truly meant, and you share with the other person what they truly meant. That solves fights. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I disagree vehemently. I am about unity all day long. This blog, Five Smooth Songs, that is our sole purpose for existence, to unite blacks and whites. You're not going to hear too many bloggers talk about I love white people. You've heard from me, I know, at least 7 times today. You've heard me say that we're one people. You're not going to hear nobody saying I'm white, no black man. You're not going to hear that nowhere on the net. Okay? So you can never say I'm a racist. Never. How can you hate yourself? I said we're one family. There's all kinds of people preaching there's two different white peoples and different things, and there's all kinds of beliefs out there. So you can never say I'm preaching racism. I'm trying to unite people. What you can say in your defense is if I was in error, you can just say, brother said your doctrine is wrong. You may can say that, but, of course, you have to prove that by bringing scriptures and showing me where I'm faltering. But just to say I'm dividing blacks and whites, I disagree. I have whites listening right now, and I'm sharing with them how we're one. If you're sharing what things we have in common, you're trying to bring people together, I think. Now, if I talk about how white people are so different and how blacks are so different and how we can never get along and the white man is white man, that's when you make that comment on those shows. And I'm not dividing the Hebrew community with the Christian community. I'm just showing how we're different. The Hebrew community needs a gift of the Spirit. The Christian community needs to acknowledge Israel. And I bet if you were honest with me, now, Patriot Gray said there's no color in the Bible. You just lost your battle there. I want everybody to hear this comment this brother made. If you are about unity, then stop distorting the scripture and bringing color when no skin color is described in the Bible. He needs to listen on that. Patriot, listen. I'm going to give you a benefit of that. I'm going to just talk as though, okay, let's just say you're right. Bible says his hand became leprous as snow. What was it talking about? That was his skin. When the Bible said our visage was blacker than a coal, what was it talking about? Visage means face. That was talking about skin. When the Bible talked about the Messiah's feet was burnt, looked like they was burnt like bronze, what was it talking about? What else was his feet? When the Bible talked about an Egyptian heifer, what were they looking at? Bible talked about Lot, brave. Is that not ethnic? Bible said that God made us from the dust of the earth. If you don't think that skin, how come when we die we go back to that same dust? I have 60 seconds. And I'm going to go in and wrap this up. But I disagree with you, my brother. I disagree with you. And the Christian community have always acknowledged the Jews. You haven't been listening. The Christian community does not acknowledge the black Jews. We're talking about black Jews, people that live out Deuteronomy 28, not so much color, but anybody that live out Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, they are the real Jews. And they happen to be people of color. The church, the Christian community, does not acknowledge them, okay? Simple and plain. So I'm going to lose everybody on the blog or everybody on the Internet right now, probably next 5 seconds. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I'm not going to end the show for another 10 minutes. I'm going to go another 10 minutes. So those of you, if you want to keep listening, call the show. Otherwise, I'm going to lose all of you. But I love everybody. Okay, I love everybody, and I just want y'all to know that Brother Seth will never, ever engage anything that divides the body of Christ. So I've lost everybody that's on the Internet. Those of y'all that call the phone line, on the phone line, we'll talk and continue this, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up, okay? So just about another 10 minutes, and we'll wrap this up. But I just want to say you got to listen to the show. If you're going to listen, you got to really listen. This brother's saying there's no skin color mentioned in the Bible, that is totally off. I mean, you don't have to say skin color. Just say, you know, his hand was leopard to snow. The Bible ain't gonna explain every little thing out in detail. It's hoping we understand basic language. Many times when they talk about people's face, how it looks, and different things, it don't get off into no racist tip. But like I say, anyway, that's something we discussed on Saturday. So there are different, very many differences between Hebrews and the so-called Israelite community, the Christian community and the Israelite community. So hopefully y'all have accepted what I said today. I know I took a few rows off the subject, but I felt like entertaining some of the things that were said and done because some people, they mean well. Everybody's not trying to be disruptive. They just want an understanding, a clear understanding of what's going on. So that's why I took the liberty to talk about some of those things. So anyway, I am glad how this went. I am thankful for the things that I can to share and talk about. I love people of the Most High. I especially have a calling to help restore the natural biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I believe those they are people of the book. I do believe some. I mean, let me back up. I believe that they are dark-skinned people. And I don't do it for that reason, because I have supported the Israelite Jews from as long as I can. Remember, as long as I thought they were white. I had an image of Christ in my Bible, all over my house, and with my family and their family have supported white images of Christ forever. So I am the last person on the planet that needs to be associated with not wanting to promote just a black stuff. Trivializing this message to be supporting just a black Jesus. It's so much deeper than that. And I thank you that all of you chatting, there's only one, two people that was making those comments. The rest of y'all seem just totally fine. And I want people to know that, because this has never rattled nobody. I mean, I've been doing this for probably 10 weeks, and we never have really that much talk about it. When people do talk, they're saying things like, thank you, that's been a blessing, you helped me out, I didn't know this, I've researched it, you're right, especially if they go and get to the library and get some of that book, and they're very thankful. So I am just, please know that it's only a few people that feel felt that way. And when you mention leprosy and you don't get a chance to really explain it, I expect people to respond like that, because it's very sensitive. I told you, I fought it for like 5 years. But I never listened to the person all the way out. I never heard them out. I just heard them say one sentence and I hit the fan. And so you got to listen to people. Sometimes what you think, you really think you're right, you got to hear people out. And I try to get people to the floor. You know, I really wish they'd call the line and just press one on the phone, and then they're able to speak their mind, and really we can hear exactly what they're saying. But I can't always watch the chat room to see every little word they're saying. But I can tell you this, it's only about two or three people that really misunderstood some of the things I was saying. Not all the things. A lot of things they agree with. Okay? So Most High is good. He's revealing his truth. He's released his truth throughout the land, and people are able to see it. Israel is coming together just like the Valley of the Dry Bones. There are very many of us, and we're very scattered, but we're coming together. I think next week what we'll do is I don't know if we'll, I'll have to just think about this, whether or not to continue this subject. I want to share some other things, but I had to go over some of the things that I talked about last week first. It was the most serious. Today I was going to try to share some other things that wasn't as serious, but some definite differences. So I don't know next week if we'll cover that or if we'll just end it on this note. But we'll see. Most likely I'm leaning towards a part three. At this point. So I want to play a song as we go out, and I want everybody to pay attention to the word, because it's very important. It has to do with what we was talking about. Okay, so shalom, goodbye to everybody that was listening. Thank y'all for supporting this topic. My goodness, this is one of the popular ones. Y'all really come out to support and to say, Brother Seth, we're interested. So I just want to thank y'all for that, okay? All right. Again, next week we'll probably do part three. Don't forget, on Tuesday we have the Federation of the International Israelites on Tuesday at midnight. We're going to talk about how, as the Israelite community, how to better organize. The fireside chat with the Israelites, how to organize, and maybe we'll interview someone from one of those scattered lands. Sometimes we try to do that as well. So goodbye. Talk with you later.
keep getting dimmer. Feels just like you're lost.